everyone, welcome to the Portable Magic Dispenser. My name is Lucas Maxwell and I'm the librarian at Glenthorne High School. Today I'm just going to go over a few more ideas for September that I had in mind to begin with, and one of them is a nonfiction scavenger hunt. I'm always trying to figure out ways to include the nonfiction collection in our library, so I've been trying to refresh the students' knowledge of it. And this is great for 11-year-olds in our school. That's the youngest age we have in our school. Sometimes they come into high school and they need a little bit of refreshing with their research experience. So I'm trying to make it fun and make it a competition. So I put a bunch of nonfiction topics on pieces of paper, slips of paper in a jar, which I just call the jar of knowledge. And topics are things like snakes, human skeleton, airplanes, famous people, Billie Eilish, anything. And I know that the books have certain aspects to them before I start. Bigfoot, they love urban myths, you know, myths and legends, conspiracy theories, and things like that. I put them in a group of five. They elect one member of their team to approach the jar of knowledge and choose a topic. And then they can choose one member of the team to assist them in finding a book related to that topic on the shelves. Therefore, that just cuts down on the chaos and confusion. Once they've found a book, they must return to their table and answer a series of questions that I provided on a research sheet. Using that sheet, they have to write down the title and author of the book, find two interesting facts, find the glossary, index, and acknowledgments page. I try to make sure the topics that I'm providing, there are many books that have those. So if they don't have one, I will quickly let them know. I'm constantly going around and looking. I also have dictionaries available, and I want them to find three new words and write down their definitions. And really, the first group to answer all their questions is kind of crowned the winner, and given we have house points and things like that. And it's really a lot of fun. Turning into a race with prizes is a great incentive. And at the end of the lesson, I go team to team, getting them to discuss their topic and their research sheet. And we also discuss the importance of knowing about things like glossaries, indices, acknowledgments pages, bibliographies, things like that. It only takes about 20 minutes, but it's a great way to kind of like break up a lesson, get them thinking different ways, and it gets them on their feet and really gets them excited. So it's a great way for me to introduce the nonfiction section to new students and to kind of prepare them for what more in-depth research lessons we'll be doing in the future. So I really, really enjoy those. The next one that I do is a fun one that helps me kind of like think about the books that they really enjoy, especially when they're coming into year seven, I should say. And it's using PowerPoint. So we're lucky to have 30 computers in the library that they can use, and you do need computers to do this, in my opinion. I'm sorry if you don't have enough or don't have them, but this program in particular, you do need them. And all it is if you think about a PowerPoint, it's always landscape. It's flipping it to portrait and creating a book review using that. It's really simple. And all you do is, and I put these instructions on the screen, is when you open up a blank PowerPoint, you click design at the top, and you select slide size, and then custom slide size. Then a new window pops up, and you click portrait. And what they'll see then, they always, you know, really enjoy seeing this, that they can do this. And I didn't know you could do it either. And it just creates this kind of like changes the perspective of PowerPoint. And I have one on the board that I've pre-made. It's a simple book review with the book cover and a paragraph about the book with a cool background. They love playing around with the backgrounds and things like that. So all I get them to do is spend 10, 15 minutes. You know, what was the last book you read that you really loved? You're going to get kids who say they don't read, etc. Those are the ones I want to talk to. Okay, we're going to go over to this section, and maybe I'll actually at the end, or if I have time, making sure I'm trying to remember all their names and things like that. But it's just a way to figure out, okay, what have they been reading, maybe over the summer, if anything at all. I'll have those discussions, and then in year six, what did they read maybe as a class, or what did they read at home, if they do it at all. And it's just a good way, it's a good opportunity to kind of like introduce the idea that 20 minutes a day, I have this kind of 20 minute a day thing that I read somewhere, and I can't remember the the source on that, but if you read 20 minutes a day, it's really good for your brain. And that's not very much. We spend 20 minutes a day doing many other things that are kind of inane, in my opinion. At least I do. And therefore, this is something that they could do. And then it's a great way also to highlight, look, if you really can't think of a book, like who here is having trouble thinking of a book? Let's just see how many hands. Who here says don't really care about reading? Some kids will put up their hands because I think it's like cool with their friends to do it. I will have books on display ready to go. Like I have these wheeled displays, but this is just a great idea. Either on the screen you could do it, or you could just have them physically there. These are books that you will love, comics, manga, etc. And my goal with this, and it is hard to do, but what I want to do this year with it is to collect them all. So maybe get them to email me. We have kind of like a shared school drive as well, for students, and I want them to share these PowerPoints with me, these slides, and I want to put them all together into like one online book review magazine that can be accessible. So that's the goal for that. Hopefully that will work. This is one that I did a while ago, but and I'm sure I stole it from somebody, but it's been a while, but I want to do this again. It's just a simple book tasting. So we decorated the library. This was many years ago, but I'm going to do it again. Decorate the library to look like a restaurant, create menus, fancy restaurant music playing in the background. On each table, we had five books of a different genre: horror, fantasy, comedy, romance, real life, quote unquote, comics as well. So maybe not. Maybe seven books, comics and manga. But the thing was, I tried to choose books that were brand new, books that had never really been on the shelves, if that's possible. And when students come in, they're given a menu. I did have students sign up for this. On each menu were three pages, one for their appetizers, their main meal, and their desserts. They were then given 5 minutes at each table and given a chance to look at the books, their titles, blurbs, covers, read the first few pages. They were then asked to choose three appetizers, three main meals, and three desserts. Then they had to spend some time narrowing down each section, appetizers, mains, and desserts, to one quote-unquote meal. And at the end of the program, each student had to stand in front of the group, or they didn't have to, but I asked them to, and describe their meal and why they chose which book. I then kind of like chose the student who had the best argument. And who I encouraged them to use like foodie type words that I had included on the back of their menus, like words like scrumptious, etc. I had prizes, free books and things like that, bookmarks and stuff for everyone, but I gave extra prizes for the student who really made a show of their meal, if that makes sense. So who kind of like presented their meal in the most creative way. This is not for those who are. I know there it's not for those who aren't maybe outgoing, but we had lots of students do this and they really loved it. It was kind of like a relaxed atmosphere, and lots of the students took out books that they had chosen for their meal, and it was a really fun kind of experiment. I would do it, definitely do it again. I had like a big flip chart where I had welcome to the restaurant. I had like it looked like a menu. Your task, I wrote, your task today is to sample a delicious array of new books. Please take a menu, make yourself comfortable. I had the tablecloths on the tables, and I had each table had the genre. I know graphic novels and manga are not genres, but I would have some graphic novels included in those genres is what I was trying to say. But I would have like so funny books. I would have like a side-splitting snack that will have you laughing all day long, etc., etc. No high I wrote no hydrogenated oil on it, and it was just I think it just kind of changed the way the students looked in the library and brought a lot of new faces in. It was really good. So that was another popular one, the library restaurant. And last but not least, one that was very popular when I first ran it. It was simply a research project that took more than one lesson, but the students really got into it. I did it with again with the year sevens, and it involved using the computers, using our nonfiction books, and I have books on these topics. And I got them working in groups, and they get to put their hand in a jar and randomly choose what their group is going to be researching. And I did Bigfoot, Stonehenge, the Mary Celeste, which is this weird ghost ship that kids find and I found interesting when I was their age. And I have these books that someone donated on the Dancing Plague of 1518. It's a little bit dense, but we don't use the book. We go on the internet and stuff like that. So the book can be used for like finding out the index, stuff from the index and stuff. But it's this bizarre real life phenomenon that occurred where people couldn't stop dancing. And I had The Lost City of Atlantis, which I have a lot of books on. Really, what I want is for them as a group to come up with a theory or theories that explain or quote unquote solves the mystery. And at the same time, learning responsible researching skills using print and online sources, and then they hopefully will present their findings. And I encourage them, so I provide them with binders and things like that, give them a whole array of information. When we did this, one group actually built a model of the Mary Celeste and brought it in, which was really amazing, and it was just so cool. So, first session, I guess, is just they get their topics and they are given the books, and then they get to go into the computers and do some research. I want them to find, this is year sevens, they're brand new to the library. They're getting used to like using the computers, wandering around the library looking for the books. Let's say they've got Bigfoot. I want them to find five interesting facts, quote unquote, about Bigfoot. Even if they think Bigfoot's, not real, the thing is, it's not really about them saying it's a hoax or it's not real, it's real. I want them to come up with a theory that will explain it. Now, they will sometimes just tell you right away what they think their theory is. But what I want is for them to spend a lesson or two researching it and presenting it on to the class if they want to. Now, if you've got a group of five students, they will typically there will be some students who aren't going to take part as much as others. I just find that so it's you do have to I do have to kind of like go around and kind of like encourage everyone to be taking part and getting involved and be if they're on the computers they usually enjoy doing that. But it is a lot of fun, and it's a again I get them to discuss their sources, if that makes sense. So where did they get their information from, and describe it to the class and why they think that source is good, bad. And then really we're talking about like three to five sources. It's a quick kind of, again, a quick kind of research lesson that ties in with our more involved lessons, kind of building on the first example. So again, a lot of fun, and hopefully they will enjoy that one. And if there are students who are really interested in drawing, they can draw their topic. They can make a poster board of it if they want to. It's really where they want to take it. I'm not gonna. I know they need clear boundaries, but I mean, if I don't, I'm kind of avoiding PowerPoint slides. I just want them to have some notes and to discuss. They don't necessarily need a PowerPoint. I think they do so many PowerPoint presentations in school. I try to avoid them, to be perfectly honest, unless I'm talking about the one where I use the book review one. But to present on a PowerPoint, I'm not going to make them do that. And I guess one more. I said that was the last one, but I do have one more. I really love this website, AuthorFi. If you haven't used AuthorFi before, you should give it a try. It's free. It has tons of things on there. All videos from authors giving you little creative writing challenges and ideas. I mean, there are so many on there. It's hard. They have so many really great, amazing authors on there discussing their inspiration behind their work and where they get their ideas from, and also giving you little tasks. And also, there's a ton of schemes of work and things like that around the books. So check out AuthorFi. It's free to make an account. I cannot recommend it enough. One that I just love. We have a really popular series, the Treehouse series, the 13 story Treehouse. And the authors on there, Andy Griffiths. And it's a really simple idea, but when I work with students, sometimes students with special needs or students who maybe are at a lower ability. This has been amazing program to, or just quick program to get them A, engaged in the books, and also engaged in library lessons. The concept is really simple. It's if you had unlimited money, time, energy, space, what kind of treehouse would you build? You could be as many stories as you want. And then I go through all the books, and or not all the books, but many of the books, and show them different examples. And they loved it. They drew their own idea. I just had like a blank comic book template where they were able to simply draw their own. So students who wanted to draw could draw. Students who wanted to do bullet points could bullet point. And they really loved, if they wanted to work in partners, it was fine. Again, a great way to highlight the collection. Also say, look, we've got, if you like the Trios books, we've got these books. We've got these books, these comic books, et cetera, Cardboard Kingdom, all sorts of different great books out there that are related to that. So that was a really successful program, and those books flew off the shelves, and they really loved them. And I was able to tie it into the I Survived series, which I've talked about before, even though maybe you don't see a correlation there, but I tried to tie it in where imagine if you built a Trios with a water slide, but at the bottom of the water slide there was a great white shark, and that was, I think that's in one of the Trios books, and the kids loved that idea. You know, oh my gosh, a great white shark. And then of course I tied it into the I Survived books, where there's an I Survived book, and if you don't have the I Survived series, I highly recommend them, the comic books and the chapter books. There's one about the 1918 great white shark attacks in the U.S., which is the basis for Jaws, and once I hear that, they're really intrigued. And there's a comic book, graphic novel version, and then a chapter book version of that, and I then tie it into those, and those books fly off the shelves, and it's really been successful. So these are some of the things I'm going to do in September, and to introduce the year sevens to library lessons. So I hope you found that useful. Kind of a short one today, but again, these are the things that we're doing in the library on a weekly basis. So again, hope you find that useful. Hope everybody's okay. Take care. Talk to you soon.